The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Dear friend, I have some good news for you today. The God of the Hebrews cares about you, about every one of you. I'm Pastor Schulze. Welcome to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray together. Our Father, we pray now for the anointing of the Spirit of God to come into this declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I began to speak about the first of the Ten Commandments, which is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is from Exodus chapter 20. I mentioned to you that the giving of the law of these Ten Commandments was accompanied by the greatest divine manifestations that ever accompanied any giving of any revelation. When God gave these Ten Commandments, He came down from heaven in fire. He descended upon Mount Sinai, the mountain of the bush that was covered with smoke and quaking greatly. He was coming down being accompanied by a trumpet that sounded long and waxed louder and louder. And then after the trumpet became quiet, God spake, and He gave us the Ten Commandments, the first of which is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. As I shared with you, dear friends, these 10 words, or 10 commandments, or the Decalogue, as it is also called by others, were given to humankind to be obeyed and observed to the end of time. Jesus never did away with the 10 commandments. Jesus quoted each one of these 10 commandments in different places. He upheld them. He lived them. And as a matter of fact, in several instances, like in the Sermon on the Mount, He expounded upon them and deepened their meaning. For example, He said, it has been said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, if a man looks after a woman to lust after her, he has already committed adultery in his heart. So Jesus at times deepened the meaning of the Ten Commandments, but in no way did He get rid of them. In no way did He say they needed to be abolished. And then when He met this rich young ruler who came to Him and said, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? He said to him, keep the commandments. And He gave this rich ruler 5 of the 10 commandments as a starter. We cannot get away from these laws of God. If you get away from these 10 laws of God given in Exodus 20 and repeated in the book of Deuteronomy, if we get away from these laws, we're leaving holiness of life, and without holiness no man shall see the Lord. If we get away from these laws, my friend, civilization will collapse, because civilization needs these laws. You cannot have a society where stealing is committed without punishment, where lying becomes a matter of common practice, where adultery is acceptable, where, my friend, covetousness rules supreme, where killing anyone we don't like is permissible. The laws of God given here, these 10 laws, are for all of us until the end of time. It is only the criminal mind, the criminal mindset, that does not want to keep these 10 commandments. They want to keep killing and stealing and lying and committing adultery. So today I'm continuing on the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I shall mention to you that this God who says this, thou shalt have no other gods, is the God of the Hebrews, of the Jewish people, who says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So the first characteristic by which God introduces Himself in the giving of these laws is that He is a God of salvation, by saying, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And did God ever prove his power to deliver, to save, the way he brought Israel, the slave nation, out of this mighty kingdom, the land of Egypt? God here, God through his powerful deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, established his uncontested supreme authority and right to say, there shall be no other gods for you to worship. Let me ask you, is there another God anywhere in the world that was able to change water into blood? I'm talking about on a large scale, particularly as God did in Egypt, not even on a small scale. Has there ever been a God, my friend, who in a moment of a twinkling of an eye could take frogs, could command frogs, all the frogs of Egypt, to come out of their rivers and ponds and to jump into bedchambers, into every living room, in every barn, and to cover every square yard of the land? Has there ever been a God, my friend, who was able to bring thick darkness upon the land during the daytime, darkness that covered the sun so thick that it could be felt? Has there ever been a God who, my friend, could bring water out of rocks in order to quench the thirst of his people? Has there ever been a God who caused bread to rain from heaven every single morning for 40 consecutive years? God, in this great deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt, established his absolute authority, his sovereignty and power over all nature, over all the laws of nature, over all gods, that gave him the right to say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So many people say, well, we all worship the same God, we all believe in the same God. My friend, the only God who is worthy to be worshipped, the only God who is the true God, is this God who has accomplished these tremendous feats to prove himself almighty. If you do not believe in this God, explain to me what the God you believe in has done to prove his power and what he has done to save humankind, and what he is able to do to help you out of your troubles. My friend, this God of the Hebrews is a God who delivers out of bondage, and as he delivered Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, he can deliver you from sin, from any addiction, from jealousy, from bitterness, from criticism, from pornography, from homosexuality, from hate. He can deliver you from envy, from pride, from selfishness, from lust and greed and a murdering spirit. And this God, through Jesus Christ, his Son, can make you a new person. Yes, it is this God who says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because only he can save. And dear friend, after God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, it says that his glory went before these children of Israel. That means his presence. During the day, it was manifested by a cloud, and at night by a pillar of fire, and his glory, his presence, would not depart from them by day or by night. And so if you let this God of Israel deliver you, so also his presence, his glory, will go before you, and in fact it shall be within you and lead you where he wants you to go. Oh yes, this is all wrapped up in thou shalt have no other gods before me. I like to have a God who can do everything and who cares about me, and I found such a God in the God of the Ten Commandments. And this, of course, is also the teaching of the prophets, like Isaiah the prophet says in his book, this is God speaking, that they may know from the rising of the sun, that's from the east and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And this gets me to one of the last points in reference to the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It brings us to the establishment or the birth of monotheism. There is monotheism and there's polytheism. Monotheism is a belief that there's only one God. Polytheism is a belief that there are many gods. In Western civilization, monotheism has been quite prevalent for a long time. The three prominent religions in the world who are monotheistic are Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Now, for us in Western civilization, the belief in monotheism is just as natural as it is getting out of bed in the morning. And for people in many Eastern civilizations, of those people, polytheism is just as natural for them as getting out of bed. Getting back to the days of the Hebrews who came out of Egypt, we want you to notice that until this time of Moses at Mount Sinai, the predominant doctrine worldwide was polytheism. Where Abraham came from, the land of the Chaldees, basically all people were polytheists. And the children of Israel who dwelt in the land of Egypt for 430 years lived from generation to generation in a polytheistic society. Egypt had many gods, like the sun god, the moon god, the Nile was worshipped, and so was the bull. So when God came along here and told the children of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai, the mountain of the bush, that thou shalt have no other gods before me, God here established monotheism, and it was very, very radical for him to do that, indeed. Here God, so to speak, took his hand, and he wiped all the religions, all other gods that had been worshipped by all civilizations of all time off the table and said, I'm the only one. There's none else beside me, as I just quoted to you from Isaiah chapter 45. So right here is the birth of monotheism in the Ten Commandments in the history of the religions of the world. Finally, we have time for one more point. When God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, he means that I am the only one. There should be no other god before you. You should have my attention. You should put your attention on me at all times. In other words, stay focused on me. The God that brought Israel out of Egypt needs your constant focus. When you get out of bed, get focused on me. Read my word. Talk to me. Listen to me, and do so day after day. So what God had in mind is this: the way you husbands treat your wives, think about me, says God. The way I want you to treat your wives, the way your wives treat your husbands, respond to them, God says. Think about the way I want you to respond to your husband. The way you handle your finances, think about the way God wants you to handle your finances. Before you ever turn the television on, think about the fact that you stand before God, the only God, and someday you'll have to give an account for what you have seen on that television set. And so it goes on and on. Keep God before you. Have no other gods before him. Let nothing come between you and God. Go where he wants you to go. Do what he wants you to do. Abstain from what he wants you to abstain from. Love what he loves and hate what he loves. And dear ones, this takes vigilance and dedication and loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let me read to you in closing this commandment in context. Once again, God says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then.